Resurrected Republic Truth Radio Broadcast on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio Broadcast with Rudy and Aaron Davis from the Year of Jubilee Weekly Update. Tonight, we are reporting on the case of Eddie Ray Kane, who has spent 14 years in prison for openly challenging the constitutionality of the IRS. We will speak directly with his wonderful wife, Cookie.
Are we too close?
And we have a very special guest, Rod Remlin, with us tonight. These godless henchmen in the IRS seek to advance their own careers by imprisoning our brothers and sisters. These IRS special agents seek rewards of filthy lucre, and as we, children of the mighty living God, need to stand up for our brothers and sisters and call out this IRS wickedness and demand that Eddie and others like him be set free. Our appeal is to heaven. If you are part of the remnant of the body of Christ, please join us tonight to learn the story of Eddie Ray Kane and how the IRS unjustly targeted this godly man, and learn what we can do to help as instructed in Hebrews 13:3. Who will stand up for God against the workers of iniquity?
Amen, amen.
I know you will, Rudy.
Amen. You know, I think we've got just a little bit of technical issues. If there's anything we can do to stop some of the background noise.
Whoever's not talking needs to hit mute.
Yeah, let me try to. I don't know how to do that on my end. We're gonna struggle just a bit here in the beginning. But if anybody has a way to mute,
Maybe the board operator can mute that noise because it's very distracting.
Well, we're going to try to figure it out here.
It sounds like a submarine. Somebody's in a submarine 20,000 leagues below.
Let's see what we got here. I just don't see a mute button for anybody.
No, we can't mute them. But we can just kick them out, maybe.
Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, just hang tight with us while we get some technical difficulties ironed out. You know, it happens.
It happens, it happens.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody's smacking the microphone or whatever. Something's really off.
What do you think, Tom? I don't know what to do.
Oh. Yeah, right at the bottom, Cookie, just hit
got
the
got it, very good.
There got it, all right. All right.
Let's start again. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio Broadcast with Rudy and Aaron Davis. Tonight we are reporting on the case of Eddie Ray Kane, who has spent 14 years in prison for openly challenging the constitutionality of the IRS. We will speak directly with his wonderful wife, Cookie, and we have a very special guest, Rod Remlin, with us tonight, too. These godless henchmen in the IRS seek to advance their own careers by imprisoning our brothers and sisters. These IRS special agents seek rewards of filthy lucre. And we, as children of the mighty living God, need to stand up for our brothers and sisters and call out this IRS wickedness. We need to demand that Eddie and others like him be set free. Our appeal is to heaven. If you are part of the remnant of the body of Christ, please join us tonight to learn the story of Eddie Ray Kane and how the IRS unjustly targeted this godly man, and learn what we can do to help as instructed in Hebrews 13:3. Who will stand up for God against the workers of iniquity? Tonight's call-in number is 1-800-313-9443, and if you have any great ideas, we'd love to hear from you.
Amen. Thank you, Aaron. And, you know, there's a lot of things we could be talking about tonight. As a matter of fact, if I could share a personal note, I lost my dog of 15 years a couple hours ago. Went outside and the Lord decided to take him. And I don't know if the Lord will have animals in heaven, but I pray to God that if he can make Luke once, I think he can make him again. So we're going to just trust in the Lord.
I'm so sorry to hear that, brother.
Yeah, it's, you know, you sometimes get attached to these animals. And but tonight, we are going to focus on a man. There's a lot of things that we could focus on. There's, you know, in the Sodom and Gomorrah world we live in, we could talk about mass shootings, SSRI drugs, pedo-gate, false flags, the rumblings of the administration. It seems like we're on the verge of a civil war all the time. I got a friend named Tommy. We call him the Texas Deacon, and he says he's lived through the end of the world about 17 times. So there's a lot of things we could talk about, but tonight is Eddie Ray Kane's night. We are very, very honored to have, and later on in the program, we're going to bring on his wonderful wife. And the Bible says when two are joined together, they become one flesh. And we've got some questions for Cookie Kane, and she will be answering on behalf of her wonderful husband, who I believe is a godly man that was targeted. But before we get into going over and discussing Eddie Ray Kane and his story that we all need to know about, I want to recap some of the prisoners that we have covered right here on this program. And I want you to pay very close attention, if you would, to some of the numbers that I'm about to share with you. We covered the case of Yori Von Call and Scott Fall. Each one of those men have spent 35 years in prison. Neither one of those men shot anybody nor harmed anybody. David Hinkson has spent 15 years in prison on a 43-year sentence. He is a modern-day Nikola Tesla. We covered his case. Jeffrey Winehouse had bullets bouncing off his head and has spent nearly 6 years in prison on a 30-year sentence. Jeffrey Winehouse did not hurt anybody. He is the victim, but they charged him as if he were the perpetrator. Charles Dyer has spent 7 years in prison on a 30-year sentence on a heinous crime that he did not commit. Took him three trials to convict him, and we covered his case for 2 hours with his wonderful mother. We covered the case of Russell Landers with the Montana Freeman, who spent 22 years in prison on a 44-year sentence. Russell Landers has spent 22 years in prison. He's just halfway done. Schaefer Cox. My. I could talk about Schaefer Cox all day long. A political force in America for freedom, has spent 7 years in prison on a 26-year sentence. Ed and Elaine Brown, Jason Gerhard, Daniel Riley, each one of those individuals is coming up on 11 years in prison for doing what they thought was right. Free Laser, who shot a man in self-defense in his own house, coming at him with a meat cleaver. We talked about him for 2 hours right here on this program, and he defended his life. And he spent 35 years in prison, should have been out years ago. They deny him in parole over and over and over again. Bryce Quellar, we talked about last week, he spent 2 years in prison on a 3-year sentence. We're praying he gets out before the end of the year. And we covered the case of Mike and Pat Parsons. Mike Parsons has spent 5.5 years in prison, and his wonderful wife, Pat Parsons, has spent 6 months on a 5-year sentence. Mike Parsons will be going to trial tomorrow, as a matter of fact, and we need to lift him up in our prayers. Tonight, we're going to cover the case of Eddie Ray Kane, who spent 14 years in prison. And I added up all those numbers, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. And if you throw in Kent Hovind, who spent 9 years in prison on bogus false charges from the IRS, very similar to Eddie Ray Kane, you get the number of 237 years in prison. That's not sentencing time. That's time that's actually served by the men and women that I just named off. And 200. There is a victim in the case of Free Laser, but he shot him in self-defense. 237 years of time served by our brothers and sisters in the Lord. I'm here to tell you that we've got a problem with our criminal justice system in this country. We've got a problem with the FBI. We've got a problem with this rabid dog off the constitutional chain. And we have a private profit for prison system. The people involved in the DOJ, the FBI, and the IRS advance their careers with filthy lucre by imprisoning, incarcerating, and sometimes killing our brothers and sisters in the Lord. So that number really hit me in the face tonight when I read that number, 237 years of time served of the men and women that I just named. I pray that you do pay attention and stick with us tonight. We are going to cover the case of Eddie Ray Kane. The prosecutor in Eddie Ray Kane's trial referred to his case as the biggest tax case in IRS history. If I could, Mike, could we play clip zero, which will be Wesley Snipes, which was a co-defendant of Eddie Ray Kane? And could we play that clip where he talks to Larry King on CNN about this case so we can give set up the context?
We're back with Frank, with Wesley Snipes and Dan Meacham. We have received a statement from Frank Tuttle. Frank served on the jury that convicted Wesley Snipes in 2008. After the trial, he contacted Mr. Snipes' defense team. At their suggestion, we reached out to him, and he provided us with a statement that says in part, there was one juror that had said they knew Mr. Snipes was guilty when they first saw him during jury selection. I told the juror that was not right, and it went against what the judge had said to us before the trial was to begin. Two other jurors then agreed and said that they thought he was guilty when they first saw him before the trial began. We were deadlocked on our decision about Mr. Snipes before this happened. I was not expecting to hear that from a juror, and most of the jurors felt the same. That's when a deal was made to find him, Mr. Snipes, guilty on the failure to file taxes and not guilty on federal tax evasion charges. We did not think he would go to jail. Wes, are you surprised that the judge did not consider that?
Very much so, Larry. Very much so. I was surprised that not only did he not consider it, he wouldn't consider even interviewing the juror, even though he made himself available to be interviewed, whether it was with the defense counsel or whether it was with the judge in his own private chambers.
So you think you've been singled out here? You think you've been singled out?
Well, I'll put it this way, Larry. It does seem to be rather unusual and rather bizarre when you had a prosecutor come into the sentencing and make this statement that this was the biggest tax trial in the history of the IRS. He also made the statement that judge and a plea to the judge asking him not to offer community service because Mr. Snipes has too many fans. They would be emboldened. They think that he's beat us and they think that he's won. So if you take these things into consideration, Larry, and the way it's been misreported around the world, I think there's a certain amount of selectivity going on here.
That was Wesley Snipes, who's co-defendant of Eddie Ray Kane. I'd also like to set up the next clip. This is a clip of Eddie Ray Kane shortly after he was extradited from Panama. And I believe he was illegally extradited from Panama. And if given that we've got a break coming up at 9:20, this is about a 7-minute clip. I want you to hear directly from this man. And the more I learn about him, the more I learn how godly and uncompromising Eddie Ray Kane is. And I consider him a brother in the Lord. Could we go right into that clip, sir?
Welcome to another segment of The Grassy Knoll. We have with us today Eddie Kane. That might not be a household name. Some of you do know him or know of him and what he's about. Unfortunately, it's going to remind you of some of the sagas that we've had on the show where people have seen fit to fight the machinery, and for good reason. So without saying anything more, I think I'll let Eddie explain the situation. And welcome to the show. And will you tell folks where you are and why you're there?
Sure, Keith. Glad to be with you. Yes, where I'm at right now is in the Marion County Jail in Marion County, Florida. And the reason I'm here is because one of my clients, Wesley Snipes, the actor, was charged with defrauding the United States government and the conspiracy to defraud brought in myself and the tax preparer that prepared an amended
here, Keith.
Well, you talked about Snipes being a client. What business did you run?
We had an organization called American Rights Litigators in Mount Plymouth, Florida. And we were there for from 96 to about 2003. And what I did was I had an attorney and CPA and the tax preparer. You know, occasionally the tax preparer would be there assisting people that were having problems with the Internal Revenue Service. As you know, the Internal Revenue Service can be pretty abusive at times, and I've experienced that personally. And I was trying to set up an organization that would help people not be so intimidated. And the attorneys and CPAs that I've had over the years working with us are strong people, and they were not intimidated by the IRS. And they would take my client's power of attorney, and then they would, and, you know, if the client received a letter, then they would turn it over to the attorney or CPA for a response. And so that's what this organization was all about. And we had, at any given time, we'd have probably 2,000 or so clients.
You know, I do remember that story. It's interesting, you know, I guess it's a poor choice of words, but, it was a radio news story I heard, and I switched the channel, not thinking too much of it. And then, you know, lo and behold, here you are, very centrally involved in that situation, and this is kind of like the offshoot of that news story I heard. And how long ago was that?
They kidnapped me back in November 1st of 2006.
Okay. Now, what was the deal with being in Panama?
You know, I just basically had enough. I had been dealing with the IRS, challenging them to show that that I could fill out a tax form, a 1040, without giving up any of my constitutional rights. And they couldn't do it. And I said, well, you know, if I can't fill out this form without giving up my Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights, then I'm not going to do it. And the IRS basically said, oh, yes, you are. You know, you're going to give up your rights. Well, we're either free or we're a slave. And I took the position that I'm free. I'm not going to do it. And that was back in 1979. And, I fought them. You know, I went and researched. I've done thousands of hours of research over the years. And in 2004, they finally shut us down. You know, just got an injunction against us and froze all the money in the bank account, so we couldn't operate at all. And essentially just ran us out of our helping people. And so I told my wife, I said, you know, our friends over in Panama, because we had friends that were going to Panama, and we said, you know, they said, you know, over here you can live freedom. You don't have to fight for it. You live it. And that just sounded so good to me. And so we've been to Panama before. I've been about three times, and my wife has been twice. We liked it, and so that's why we decided to go there and just retire. And that's what we were doing. We were there for 2.5 years.
All right, so you went down about when?
That was in March of 2004.
What agencies presented themselves to take you back to the United States?
The FBI. The FBI has agents that are assigned to the embassy there. And what they did was, I had a visa there, what's called a pensionado visa. You know, over in Panama, taxes are not a crime. If you get crossed with the government on taxes there, and they do have an income tax, the only thing they do is fine you, just a civil penalty. And so because of that, when this came out, I checked with my attorney that had done our visa, and she said, oh, Panama Immigration has called me. Everything is fine. Your paperwork's fine, and they can't extradite you because it's not a crime in this country. And so I knew that the FBI could not extradite me, although in Panama think that I'm a really, really bad man. And that way they can justify when they finally come and try to take you. They can, you know, the people feel that it was justified.
All right, you said that the agents were assigned to the embassy down there. I mean, legally, did they tell you, you know, what you were charged with? And they're right, in other words, to, quote, extradite you, which, of course, they didn't. You call it kidnapping, so how did this all occur?
Okay, see, they couldn't extradite me because it's not an extraditable offense, and that's why they had to go this different route.
Thank you.
All right. That was Eddie Ray Kane shortly after he got extradited from Panama. And that was an interview that he did. And I think it's important to hear from the man and what he had to say about that. I hope you picked up on some of the points that he shared. But they had an FBI agent illegally extradite him from Panama. And he's been sitting in prison for a total of 14 years, and his initial sentence was 10 years, but they gave him another 10 after they had him in prison. We are very honored to have his wife and very special guest, Rod Rimlin, with us tonight. And Aaron, would you care to introduce Cookie?
Yeah, Cookie grew up, she went to Colorado State University, and she graduated in 1975 with a Bachelor of Science in Occupational Therapy. She met the love of her life, Eddie Ray Kane, at the Dallas Push Club, which is similar to the West Coast Swing. They were pretty inseparable from the first time they met. Cookie and Eddie got married in 1978. Eddie and Cookie decided they wanted to homeschool their children, so she dedicated herself to that as a priority. Imagine homeschooling way back then. She was way ahead of the game. Eddie ran American Rights Litigators, ARL, which was a membership-based organization to help people who were being unjustly harassed by the IRS. After years of successfully helping others in this capacity, rather than continue with a for-profit organization that ARL was, Eddie organized Guiding Light of God Ministries, GLGM, to assist people in much the same way. However, it was for donation only, and the focus was to help anyone and everyone who needed assistance through this ministry. Cookie never worked at ARL or GLGM. However, at Eddie's request, Cookie would schedule speaking engagements around the family's activities where Eddie had been invited to speak all over the country and even internationally. Eddie asked that Cookie accompany him as his wife and helpmate, which she often did to these various seminars and conferences. Since 1981, Eddie has been targeted by the IRS. Cookie has been his support system the entire time. And both have endured many, many hardships with separations, indictments, convictions, and prison sentences. Only death will separate these two souls that God has put together. There is a strong belief in Eddie's heart that the good Lord called him to this ministry. Cookie felt led to be a supportive wife and helpmate. Their life together has been far from what they ever imagined or wanted. Yet growth through adversity is on their side. To this day, they know they've done together what they were called to do. And let me add this. She has many, many friends who've gone through deaths, terminal illnesses, children deaths, their own children dying, and none of them would trade places with her. So what does that have to say about these goons at the IRS?
It has to say that the IRS has done a very good job of making us fearful and submissive. And Cookie, I got to say that after having communicated with you and learning about you and Eddie, that you are the standard for courage. The fact that you have stayed with Eddie this whole time, you know, 12, 14 years in prison, Welcome to the program, and thank you for joining us tonight to represent your husband, who we believe is a good, godly man that we need to learn about and we need to speak up for.
Well, thank you, Rudy and Aaron. I appreciate you having me as a guest, and I want to say I'm so sorry to learn about your dog. I know that they become a part of the family, and I'm very sorry to hear about that.
Well, thank you, Cookie. I just trust that Lord's going to let me see him again, and I don't know what the exact details are in the Bible about animals in heaven, but I just know that if the Lord made animals once, he can make them again, and we're going to trust in the Lord for that.
There you go.
Amen. Well, Cookie, I don't know where to start exactly. One of the things that I guess, of learning about your story, and when Eddie got extradited, which I believe was an illegal extradition, and you had to leave Panama because you were there on Eddie's visa, I guess. And could you want to tell us about that trip back to America and what it felt like when they had kidnapped Eddie, and how you, you know, how that whole situation panned out? And I guess, did they just drop you off in Florida with no job, no car, no money?
Well, I'll tell you, it was done pretty quickly when they decided to act. And people wonder why we say he was kidnapped. But when you look at the definition of kidnapping, that's exactly what it was. But when they had taken him, my attorney figured out where he was, and she took me down there to the jail to see him. And she looked me, there was a lady there that seemed to be in some sort of supervisory role at the jail, and she looked me in the eye. She stuck out her hand to shake me and shake my hand, and she said, your husband's not going anywhere. He'll be just fine. And they actually had him within a few hours out at the airport ready to leave. But after he had left, what happened, Rudy, was I got a phone call from the Panamanian government, and they just simply told me that I was going to have to leave the country, and they gave me 2 weeks to be gone because we were living on Eddie's pensionado visa there, and since he no longer lived there, they said I could not stay. So a good friend of ours purchased me a one-way ticket back to Miami. And we had a three-bedroom apartment there in Panama City, and we also had a maid. We had the luxury of a maid because it cost like $8 a day, and the maids did everything, and everybody had a maid. So we had some good friends that helped me collect all of our belongings and drove me to the interior of Mexico and donate them to that family because I couldn't bring them back, and we wanted to bless her family with that. But it was very strange. I just felt like I had to hold things together. I had a good friend that didn't want me to be alone, so she came over to spend the night with me. But I will never forget how I felt when I got off that plane. I mean, I was 53 years old. I stood there with a big lump in my throat, and I was fighting tears. I had a few suitcases with me, and it just hit me. You know, here I am. I have no husband. I have no home, no car, no job, no money. I just felt so alone. Even when I say that now, I feel the emotions because it was very difficult.
You know, Cookie, we're going to go to break, and we're going to continue this after we get back. We know the Lord was with you every step of the way, and God bless you, Cookie. We're going to be
Thank
right
you.
Back after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be. and it really works. Take Extendabite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendabite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen. You know, Cookie, before we get, and I know we've got some questions that we wrote and posed to Eddie, and of course Eddie can't be with us on the phone. A lot of these prisons, it's very difficult to get a jailhouse phone interview, so I do want to make sure we cover those questions in the time that we have. But before we get into those questions, Cookie, I want to introduce another very special guest that we have on the program with us tonight, Rod Remelin. And Rod, I got to say, your reputation precedes you. I know you're a very humble man and you always give glory to the Lord. I know you want to please your Father in heaven, but David Hinkson, who I consider a friend that I've communicated with multiple times from prison, and I feel like I've gotten to know the man, he recommends you very highly. He says you're a good, godly man, and everything I've learned about you, Rod, that is indeed the case. I know you were a co-host with David Hinkson on Worldwide Christian Radio, I think just before Bill Cooper, if I'm not mistaken. So praise God that you've cut some time out of your life, Rod, to join us on the program, and I want to welcome you to the program tonight, Rod.
Well, thank you, Rudy. I appreciate that. Yeah, we were on the air at the same time or during the same period of time that Bill Cooper was. That was those were the cowboy days of radio.
You bet. Well, very
that
good.
That was the time. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Rod. I might be a little bit of a delay, but go ahead and finish your thought there, sir.
The beginnings of what we now see today as talk radio, Patriot talk radio, actually began back in the early 90s, and it just took off from there, but that's where a lot of the foundation was built for the subsequent years that took place. The knowledge was accumulating during those years, and people were adding their understanding to the evil and to the process that had taken place over the last, say, 100 years that brought about the corruption in the government that people were trying to unravel. And still to this day, there's a lot of challenges that take place in and around the ideas of what government should be and what it's wound up to be. But, yeah, I appreciate the mention and the introduction that you've given me. I just want to say also that of all the people I've ever known, and I've never met Cookie personally myself, other than just recently I talked with her on the phone. I believe that Eddie and Cookie, above all the people that I've read their stories on and have had knowledge about, are deserving of a break more than all the others. I'm sure that there are cases that are equally as disheartening, but given the contribution that Eddie has made in a completely selfless way and never has given up, never backed up one second, one foot, and what he has been through and suffered as a result of that, he deserves a break. They both do. So that's the intent of tonight's show, is to generate some support and prayers for both them, and with the hopes and the aspirations that they will get some relief from the conditions that they've both been subjected to.
Amen, Rod, amen. You know, my favorite pastor in South Dallas, Pastor Stefan Broden, says that prayer is the nerve that moves the muscle in the arm of God. And so I'm hoping to encourage our brothers and sisters in the Lord to pray for Cookie and for the freedom of Eddie Ray Kane. He has children and grandchildren that he has not even seen, except in photos that have been mailed into the prison. And Cookie, we had to interrupt you there with the break when you were describing how you arrived back in the United States with a lump in your throat, with no husband, no money, no car, no job. But you had the Lord with you, Cookie, and I know that in talking with you that you have a strong relationship with the Lord. Is there anything that you care to share with us in addition before we jump into these questions? And I want to share with the audience that we do these programs not for the sake of having a popular program. As I think about this program that we're going to do tonight, I think about it as if Eddie is listening. And I want Eddie to be pleased more so than anybody else. I want Eddie to be pleased and our Father in Heaven to be pleased that we're representing his case well and that we're doing something that he would have favor with. But Cookie, is there anything that you care to share with us in addition to that story of how you came back to America after Eddie was illegally extradited from Panama before we jump into our questions? And we want you to know that we love you and our prayers are with you, that God will work a miracle and get Eddie out of there so he can spend some time with you, his children, and his grandchildren.
Well, thank you, Rudy. I would say that being raised as a Christian, of course, I believed in God, and I knew what that was about. But until you really get put in a situation like this, and you're just tested day in and day out, it's not easy when you're married to be separated for so long a period of time. And I've had a lot of friends that say, I don't know how you can do it. I wouldn't do it. I couldn't do it. But, you know, that's not what Eddie and I decided when we set our vows. And, you know, we got married because we wanted to be together. And we still have hopes that that will happen again. But we're trusting in the Lord. We're not trusting in the government. We're trusting in the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Our appeal is to heaven. We don't appeal to the same satanic system, criminal justice system, Bureau of Prisons that has imprisoned Eddie. We appeal to the creator of the universe. Amen to that. And I want to say for the audience members that are listening to this, there's no way that as we go through these questions that we're going to be able to fit the story of Eddie Ray Kane into a two-hour radio program. But if there's any questions in your mind that are not covered, we're certainly going to do our best to cover these questions to give you the basics But I want to encourage you to write a letter to Eddie. Send him some scripture. Send him some pictures of, you know, the woods and rivers and streams and outdoors. And tell him you care about him and love him. But
you can find his address on theyearofjubilee.com, and that's with one E, like the King James Bible spells it.
Amen. Amen. Cookie, if you're okay with it, I'm going to ask the first question, if that's all right with you.
Sure, that's fine.
You bet. So, Cookie, and I know you're going to answer these questions as if you are Eddie. The Bible says, you know, the two shall become one flesh. And so I think the same thing with my wife. I think we're the same flesh, and we're one. So she can answer for me, and I can answer for her, and I understand that. So, Cookie, when did you first challenge the IRS? When did Eddie first challenge the IRS?
Well, Rudy, Eddie's response to that is that he first challenged the IRS in 1979. Up until that time, he had filed a 1040 form every year since he was 16 years old. He says, "I had just started my own investment consulting firm. I was doing very well financially. Cookie and I had just gotten married a year earlier, and life was good." And it was. Then one day, a client came into my office and he asked me a tax question that I couldn't answer. In fact, he said I'd never thought about it. This client said, "Eddie, how do I fill out a 1040 form without giving up my Fourth Amendment right to be secure in my personal books and records, and my Fifth Amendment right not to be a witness against myself?" Since the U.S. Supreme Court had ruled more than once that no rule, regulation, or law can force an American to give up a constitutionally guaranteed right, it was a question that Eddie felt needed to be answered. So Eddie said that he told him that he would get the answer. He asked an accountant. He didn't know how you could do it, so then he went to a tax attorney. The same answer. So Eddie said that he called the local IRS office. He said, "I talked to an IRS agent. I asked him the question. His response was, 'We're not going to tell you anything. Just do it.' And he slammed the phone down in Eddie's face. That answer shook Eddie's world. What he was really telling him was that as far as the IRS was concerned, he had no rights, that they were the master and he was the slave. And that answer was totally unacceptable to Eddie. And consequently, since that day, it's been war ever since with him and the IRS." So he goes on to say that the Supreme Court stated, "Where rights secured by the Constitution are involved, there can be no rule, law, or statute making legislation which would abrogate or abolish them." That's Miranda versus Arizona, 348 U.S. 436.
That's an interesting point, Cookie. I was on mute there for a second. That's an interesting point about when you sign an IRS form, you're giving up your constitutional rights. And when Eddie heard that question, he wanted to provide an accurate answer, and he wanted to investigate that to provide an accurate answer for his client, which is understandable. One thing I've learned about Eddie is that he didn't do anything behind the scenes. He didn't operate in the shadows. Everything Eddie did was in the light, and he actually held seminars openly discussing the constitutionality of some of these laws and the IRS, and I think that's what the IRS hated the most. Rod, you were much closer to this situation than me, so if at any time we go through these questions you feel like interjecting anything, please do so, sir.
Well, Eddie had he does have a brilliant mind when it comes to the statutes and the regs, the enabling regs. That was mostly his thrust during the seminars. He would give the OMB quotes that supposedly gave the enforcement side of the statutes. And there was a lot of conflict in these areas, and he brought these to the attention of the people that he would do seminars for. I'm not saying that everything that he brought forward was 100% accurate, but at that point, everybody was still learning. I mean, the type of conclusions that he was reaching at that time were groundbreaking. I mean, he was actually on the cutting edge. He was coming. He was making. He was connecting dots that nobody else had been connecting. And his approach was always wanting to know. He never insinuated anything. He always would go to the code, and he would go to the statutes, and he would use that as the basis for his conclusions. Well, what Eddie found out was that they don't even follow their own statutes or regulations. That's the bottom line. They don't, ever. They don't follow the law, and if they do follow it, it's only a circumstantial response, but they weren't aware of following it. It just happened to be that way. And so that's why he had so much success with American rights litigators when he was running that foundation. Because he had standing. I mean, he was actually getting the results that he had been learning on how to get in previous years, and it was working. And he had a good staff. He had good people behind him. But the IRS was always, you know, trying to infiltrate Eddie's outfit, and they were doing little underhanded things to try to entrap him. But Eddie was, and still is, in my opinion, one of the premier researchers in the world when it comes to the tax law. Aside from his personality and who he is as a man, he's brilliant. And of all the people that I've read their work and gotten the benefit of their research, I always enjoyed more of his conclusions than anyone else's. It wasn't until he took on Wesley Snipes that this whole thing went belly up. Up until that point, he was riding open range and getting everybody's tax returns that were questioned. He was getting them, if not dismissed, put off because they couldn't answer the questions. It was a great organization. It had to have been the only organization out there at the time that was actually getting that kind of a success rate. Because I knew of a lot of them, and they were not nearly as successful as Eddie was.
Amen, Rod. You know, as I investigate this matter about IRS taxes, and in the Ken Hovind case, one of the things that came up, you can take your taxes to 20 different CPAs and get 20 different answers. We have such a convoluted system.
Right.
And, you know, the IRS, I remember when I was growing up, my father told me, and I'll never forget this because I thought of my father as somebody, he was a mechanic. I mean, there's nothing he couldn't do. He built his own house. I considered my father, you know, a young man growing up, one of the toughest men I'd ever came across in my life. And my father, when I was growing up, looked at me and said, "Don't ever mess with the IRS, son." And, you know, it's like, why somebody that I respect so much have that attitude? But that's the fear and submission that this Gestapo has placed in the American people. And, you know, Eddie, it sounds like he has a mind who does not compromise, who goes after the truth and wanted to get to the truth and operated in the light, that they had to silence this man. And, you know, God bless you, Cookie, for sticking with him. And God bless you for, you know, coming on the program tonight and representing him. The next question that I have, I think we may be coming up to a break, but maybe we can at least ask the question, is Eddie started to challenge the IRS. He started to look into the details of that. Rod indicated he started an organization that was giving lectures. What were the results? I mean, what ended up happening as a result of Eddie's investigation and speaking openly about the IRS?
Well, to that, Eddie would say that the result was from that year on through 1981, he filed a 1040 form, but put object Fifth Amendment on the lines requiring him to list the numbers for money. as he finally realized that the IRS was absolutely forcing him to be a witness against himself. So as a consequence, in 1985, the Department of Justice charged him criminally with willful failure to file a tax return. And he was convicted in a trial before a judge. He was given the maximum 3 1-year sentences.
Cookie, let's hang on right there. We've got these hard breaks that we've got to take, and we'll be right back after the break. God bless you,
Cookie.
All right,
Rudy.
Right back. Okay.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your
life with Extendovite. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Aaron. And Cookie was going through an answer to the results of Eddie's challenging the IRS. One of the things that I want to quote regarding the IRS is the power to tax is the power to destroy. And also, I think Vladimir Lenin said, the way to crush the Burgoyce, and I know I'm not pronouncing that word right, the way to crush the Burgoyce is to grind them between the millstones of taxation and inflation. So we have a brave man named Eddie Ray Kane who stood up and started questioning the constitutionality of the Internal Revenue Service. And we have his wonderful wife, Cookie, on the phone. And you were telling us the results of Eddie's taking a stand and proclaiming, you know, the results of his research. And Cookie, you want to continue in that?
Yes. Eddie was saying that when he told it to us that when he finally realized that the IRS was forcing him to be a witness against himself, that what the Department of Justice did in 1985 was he said they charged me criminally with willful failure to file a tax return. He commented that he was convicted in a trial before a judge, given the maximum 3 one-year sentences that were run consecutively, making it effectively a 3-year sentence.
Wow. So he spent time in prison even before this latest round. And one of the shocking things to me, Cookie, is he got 10 years. He should have been out. He's already been in prison 12 years on this particular round. He spent, like you said, a few years in prison before this latest round. But then while he's in prison, they charge him yet again because they want to give him a death by prison. They want him to die in prison. And they did the same thing to Russell Landers. They did the same thing to Kent Hovind. And I think we as the body of Christ have got to, you know, speak up and, you know, get on our knees and pray to God Almighty that enough is enough. We want Eddie to be out, reunited with you, his lovely wife, his children, and his grandchildren. And we don't want him to spend the rest of his life in prison. And he's already been in prison, I think, a total of 14 years. But it's time for him to get out. So
I couldn't agree more.
Amen. Amen.
I bet.
Well, Cookie, how many times has the IRS taken Eddie to court?
Well, if I have the numbers right, Eddie says that the IRS has taken him to court 5 times, 3 criminal trials, and 2 civil cases. So really, it's like he says, he's gained a lot of unwanted courtroom experience.
How old is he right now, Aaron?
Yeah.
I think Eddie's 75, right?
Yes, he's 75.
You know, the IRS is good at 2 things, taking your stuff and putting you in prison. And that's the only 2 things they're good for. Ron Paul has called for abolishing the IRS, and I believe that is the right thing for America. I believe they've become a Gestapo organization for the Federal Reserve. But we're going to pray for Eddie, we're going to pray for Cookie, and we're going to pray that God uses this program to reach the ears of someone out there in the audience. And we're going to make noise and shine light about the unjust incarceration of Eddie Ray Kane. We're going to be right back after the break at the top of the hour with Cookie Kane and Rod Remelin.
Welcome to the face of the new democracy. Here in the land of the not so free.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.